This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hour number two, we continue along the way from here at Lincoln Financial Field in South Philadelphia as we get set for Thursday night football between the 7-3 Washington Commanders, the 7-2 Philadelphia Eagles, a battle for first place. So, again, is it a must win? Is it a should win? Or is it a very little chance to win? I think Linnell and I are both kind of on the same page. Maybe I'm a little more... I kind of, you know, again, 50-50, if you will, sitting on the fence, what have you. And I just think it's not because the Eagles are some unbeatable team. By no means are they unbeatable. But they are hot. They haven't played anybody, really, of any sort of, or they haven't, I should say, they haven't beaten anybody of any sort of consequence. But they are hot, and Washington's banged up, and even though Linnell doesn't want me to use it as excuses, you know, again, I'd feel better if this team was, say, coming off a bye like Pittsburgh was. I do think that recharged the batteries of the Pittsburgh Steelers last week coming into Landover, and yeah, they barely won, and they needed every one of that. If that had anything to do with it, maybe it gave them a little extra juice late in that game. I don't know, but I'd feel better if this game was not on a Thursday night, if the Commanders had a little bit of a break, but they don't, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm trying to offer rationale,
sure sounds like
or common sense, logical, you know, possibilities or reasons why they might not win this game. I don't think it's because they are the inferior team. Do they have as much primetime talent as the Eagles? No. But are they as good of a team as the Eagles? I think they are.
I think they are, too. It's just, what version are we going to get? And that's been the question here over the past couple of weeks. There have been some inconsistencies offensively. The ironic thing is, I still continue to believe defensively, they've taken a step forward every week. They get better in some form or fashion defensively every week.
Wait, you believe in the defense?
I wouldn't say I believe in the defense. They earned a lot of respect from me last week, limiting that run game the way that they did. They earned a lot of respect from me.
I mean, you remember that your co-host here was somebody who was screaming about believing in the defense earlier in the year, not waiting until last week, not relying on DVOA like everyone else in our industry does, you know, where they have where they have DVOA leaking out of their backside, you know?
Well,
that could be exposed big time tonight. I mean, they could easily, you know, Philadelphia could easily put up, I don't know, a 35 burger, maybe even more.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're that good offensively when they are clicking. And you made a point earlier, Jaden, and I knew I was going to do this, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts does tend to hold on to the ball a little bit too long. And if you can, again, create... If that doesn't break down your coverage, and again, I would feel a lot better if Marshawn Lattimore was here, but if that doesn't break down your coverage, it could work in your favor, him holding on to the ball too long, because then your pass rush could get to him or force a bad throw or force an angle where, again, he's drifting away, as we've talked about with Jaden a couple of times, and really with all quarterbacks. And that is one thing that, you know, is the ultimate equalizer, right? No matter how much talent you have, you know, on the depth chart, and you guys see in the video, a little, you know, video thing, I've got the official depth chart here. No matter how much more talent Philadelphia has on the depth chart, and they do, If you turn the ball over, if you're sloppy, if you make mistakes, if balls get batted in the air and somehow come down in Frankie Louvu's hands or Bobby Wagner's hands or Jeremy Chin's hands or what have you, then certainly that can level out the playing field. Before we get back to the calls, I did want to ask you this. Does Jaden have to be Superman tonight, however you define Superman, in order for this team to win? Or is that a dumb question considering we opened the show saying how important Brian Robinson is?
I think it's a dumb question. No, I'm joking. I promise you. I'm joking. No, he was Superman for 9 weeks. I mean, up until this Pittsburgh game is the first game where it felt like he was kind of being carried along.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wasn't the driving force behind.
Right. Put him as an extra in the movie, right? What did you call him? Like,
instead of being the star, instead of being Superman, you were an afterthought.
And he wasn't even like winning the supporting actor Emmy or Grammy or no
not,
Emmy
not at all.
Emmy
not
Oscar
at all.
Oscar.
But no, he
oh, all these stupid
he
awards.
He does have to be better in this football game. I don't think he's got to be Superman, but mm-hmm. he can't play to the level he played Sunday against Pittsburgh, and I continue to put the onus on this offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They have been a bright spot all year long after being, you know, crucified during training camp, and there were a ton of question marks that led to that. But like, they've been great here through the first 8 weeks of the season, 9 weeks of the season. They had their worst performance on Sunday as well, in my opinion.
But again, is that because of the caliber of defense that they went against, or because they're losing something and injuries are contributing to that? When you take an Andrew Wiley off the field, and I know Commanders fans hated Andrew Wiley last year, and he certainly had his struggles last year. He wasn't as bad as people thought he was, but he had his struggles. Well, maybe he's given up one sack. There was a couple of weeks ago where he has still not given up, according to, again, all the analytical data, a single sack yet this year. Again, he may have given up one, may have been charged with one. I can't remember now. But the point being is, when you take that away, and when you ask Brandon Coleman to play what essentially was his second full entire game against Alex Highsmith, who, by the way, you know, again, the Eagles have some monsters in the interior of their defense. I don't know if they're as good on the pass rush defensive end area as they normally are and have been. Remember, there's no Fletcher Cox. You know, they let Hassan Reddick go. They brought in Bryce Huff. He hasn't been as good as they were hoping for him to be. Certainly, we think that's an area that they can attack with the run, right? Trying to run at Bryce Huff because he's not that good in that area. But are they as good pass rush-wise? And if they're not, and if they can hold up on the interior between Allegretti, Biotish, and if Biotish has to go out and it's Dieter or whatever, and Sam Cosmi, if they can hold up somehow, then maybe Jaden can, you know, again, pick apart some of the matchups that we talked about. We didn't even dig deep, super deep. They are going against two rookies in that secondary. As good as Quinyon Mitchell and as good as Cooper DeJean have been, they are going against two rookies in that secondary, and maybe they can find a way to break them down if the pass rush isn't getting home.
Yeah, it's about earning the right to do that, though. If they're unable to keep the balance offensively and stay ahead of the sticks, you're not going to get those one-on-one opportunities as much as you maybe would like, because no defensive coordinator is stupid enough to leave Terry McLaurin in single coverage all game long against a rookie. I don't care how good you think that your rookie is. But I think you got to earn it, and it all starts with, you know, running the ball, staying ahead of the chains.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we got any calls? You want to go back there?
A bunch. All right,
let's do it.
Brian Waldorf.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Brian. What's going on?
Hey, I think this is a should win, and I think they will win. I think they have the better quarterback, to be honest. I know Jalen Hurts has accomplished a lot, been to the Super Bowl and, you know, things like that. But if I look at Philly, you can pretty much say the same thing for Philly that a lot of people are saying for us, like, who would we beat? All of our wins are against, you know, bad teams and stuff. Like, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing for Philly. We pretty much played the same schedule except for, I guess, maybe three games. But so far, it's pretty much been the same exact thing. And I think we're a little bit better. I do think our defense will play a little bit better. I'm just not scared of Philly like that. I think we get, like, 5 sacks. And I do think score be, like, 31-20 with a Jaden Daniels touchdown run. at the end while we're up 24-20 to kind of like put the nail in the coffin.
That would send an incredibly loud message around the NFL. I mean, listen, if you walk away with any kind of win tonight, that's good enough and impressive. If you somehow walk away with a 10 or 11 point win, again, that is going to send a very loud declarative message around the NFL that not only are the Commanders and the Washington NFL franchise back, but they are beyond for real. Beyond for real.
I mean, this has really been a magical season. I think the Bobby Wagner signing was much, much bigger than, you know, we all maybe anticipated it to be. I mean, he's been a major quarterback on that defensive side of the ball. And that's why I just don't think our defense, now don't get me wrong, I think we lack the talent sometimes at corner. And Benjamin St. Jude, I'm hard on him too. I'm done. Like, I can't take the pass interference. And you can't be 10 yards off the ball and get beat by it with a fade, bro. Like, come on. Like, you're 10 yards off the ball. It looks like you chose to cover the fade being that far back. But I don't know. Like, it's just with Marshawn Lattimore coming back, I do think we win this game. And I think that A.J. Brown stuff is completely shut down when they come here to Washington. And Lattimore is healthy. And I do think maybe, I wouldn't say NFC championship game, but I do think we get a playoff win if it's in the wild card.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Good job. So the Eagles' only two losses this year by 1 point in a game they should have won here, week two against the Falcons and Kirk Cousins, right? Again, Sirianni certainly made a very controversial decision in that. The Eagles' defense fell apart late, so on and so forth. Then the bad loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who just gashed them from the get-go. The Eagles tried to make a little bit of a comeback in that game. The Eagles defense was still trying to find its way under Fangio and all the new parts. Again, we mentioned two rookies since then. Now, they've won 20-16 here against Cleveland. That was the game that Nick Sirianni was yelling at all the fans. 28-3 at the Giants. Saquon Barkley in his return, I think he ran for a 175 in that game. Cincinnati on the road by 20. 37-17. That's a common opponent, common location. The Commanders won by 5. Cincinnati won by 20. Not that that means anything. Here against Jacksonville, a game that they were up big and tried desperately to give away, 28-23. And then last week in Dallas, they just stomped all over the Cowboys. So when you read, when you hear that, right, and you say, well, they're the bad loss, if you will, was Tampa. A not great loss was, of course, Atlanta, and their wins come against Cleveland, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, a beat-up Dallas team, Giants team, some of the common opponents, and of course, they beat Green Bay in Brazil.
I'm about to say, way to omit the best win of the season, Chris.
Again, it was so long ago, I forgot. I don't even, like, to me, Jalen Hurts was, he was not great in that game. Like, Like, I know they won that game. Jalen Hurts was not great in that game. I remember watching that game going, ugh. Jalen Hurts had a couple of just awful decisions in that game. And yet, because Saquon went off, they were able to win that game against a high-quality opponent. But you're right. I was more focusing on the five-game win streak and what's happened since.
What I'm not going to do is put a bunch of stock into the Tampa loss, because I think Tampa at the time, when healthy, was one of the top teams in the NFC. Like, they were legit. They beat Detroit. Like, they're a legit group.
I agree.
The one thing,
I don't think that's a bad loss.
No, and if
it was a one-sided loss.
If you take that away, I mean, there's an argument to be made that they should have one loss. Is my whole thing. They were my NFC representative to make the Super Bowl when the season started. This is the most. There aren't five more talented rosters in the NFL in Philadelphia. They're just not, from top to bottom. It's a really good team. So, yeah, if Washington wins this in any fashion, I think I look at them differently. Because I've been saying, even during the 5-2 start, 6-2 start, Philadelphia was always the game that I had circled as that's your measuring stick. Because I didn't expect Pittsburgh to do what they were able to do offensively.
Well, that's because nobody thought Mike Tomlin would have the guts to do what he absolutely wanted to do and should have done and was ready to do, and that start Russell Wilson over Justin Fields, who stinks.
Yeah, so.
I mean, so let me ask you this real quick. If Philadelphia was your preseason pick and this has been your kind of litmus test game all along, and I understand all of that, why is it a should win then?
Because Washington has shown me that they're better than what I had given them credit for to start the year. I, you know, from day one, I said 9-10 wins potentially. how they got to that was the big question for me. They have an identity on offense that they got away from last week. I don't see that being the case here tonight. I think this offense, when they're playing at the level that we know they're capable of playing, I don't think there's anybody in the National Football League that can stop them consistently down in and down out when all the parts are healthy. And then on defense, like I said, they showed me the big thing, and I thought they would struggle with Pittsburgh's run game, and they stymied it for the most part. If they could play Philadelphia's rushing attack the same way, I think that's the one true advantage that Philadelphia has in this game, is the explosive plays they're able to create offensively, but it's all centered around their rushing attack. If you make them one-dimensional.
Yeah, but my problem with that, I mean, that sounds great in theory, is Saquon is a slashier, more probably break tackles or make you miss in space kind of running back, not to mention what he can do as a receiver out of the backfield. And then on top of that, what you didn't have against Pittsburgh, even though Russell Wilson ran a couple of read options and, on the one throw, on the touchdown throw to Mike Williams, he actually backpedaled away from pressure, and bought himself some time. You didn't have the real threat of a running quarterback. So to me, now you add both of those into the fold, and it's hard for me on a short week again to see Washington's defense being as good against the run and against the dual threat of Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts as they were against Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, and a little sprinkle of Russell Wilson. Does that make sense?
For sure, but you got to control the run, because and the more important thing is controlling the run with the light box, because that's how you – if you think you're going to go out and play man-to-man coverage on the outside against A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith all night long, you're going to get torched. Dan Orlovsky just tweeted this, and I don't even believe it's real. It sounds insane. In two games versus Washington last year, A.J. Brown caught 17 of 21 targets for 305 yards and four touchdowns.
Well, remember how he torched Emmanuel Forbes right here on this field. I was here week four of last year, torched him. I mean, it was just a bludgeoning. Emmanuel Forbes probably not going to see the field much tonight, if at all, right? I mean, listen, fans hate Benjamin St. Juice. Just go into this game thinking St. Juice is going to give up five or six catches, and he's going to give up 75 yards receiving. It's whether he can hold A.J. Brown to that, or whether it's five or six catches for 140 yards and two touchdowns. Ultimately, that might be the difference in this game. You know, and, oh, by the way, I would say this, Devontae Smith, who 2 years ago at FedEx, well, stadium formerly known as FedEx Field, week three, in a 24-0 Eagles win, absolutely abused Kendall Fuller in the first half of the game, and the Eagles won 24-0, pitch and catch style, right? So Devontae Smith is capable of hurting this team too, but A, there's obviously no Kendall Fuller. B, I think Devontae Smith had, what, one catch last week or something like that? And he's dealing with a hamstring injury. And, oh, by the way, even though there's no Marshawn Lattimore, and even though I expect BSJ to be against A.J. Brown, I think I'll take my chances with Mikey Sanderstill and his tackling ability and his athleticism and his physicality against Devontae Smith. I think that's going to be a matchup in favor of the Commanders.
In theory, it should be, but let's not. It's a Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver.
Understood.
I mean, Devontae Smith can flat out ball.
Understood.
I think that matchup you have more confidence in, obviously. But it's going to be – I saw someone tweet this. They were like, put Mikey Sanders still on A.J. Brown. Why would you do that?
I mean, you would only do that from the physicality standpoint, but St. Just is physical too.
Exactly.
He's just too handsy, and he doesn't always locate the football, and he's a little flat-footed, as we saw on that route to Mike Williams,
which
I think
Ray Charles.
I think he was in a real compromising spot. Anyway, more on the defense and the Eagles' offense coming up, and how they might be able to win this game. Straight ahead, plus your phone calls. Just hang tight, be patient. 301-230-0980. I'm live at Lincoln Financial Field in South Philadelphia. Linnell's back in studio along with Maddie. 301-230-0980. We'll keep you company until 4. And Craig Hoffman right here on a Burgundy and Gold Game Day Thursday with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Lincoln Financial Field here in Philadelphia in advance of Thursday night football. between the 7-2 Eagles and the 7-3 Commanders. Liddell Willingham is back in our D.C. studios. The birthday boy, happy 27th birthday to him. Matty Ice along the way as well. And you at 301-230-0980. We'll get back to the calls in just a sec. But, boys, I do have breaking news. Linnell Willingham, the birthday boy, has actually met a deadline.
Wow.
I mean, for the first time this year, it took until his birthday.
I thought you actually had something important to say.
Well,
this is important. I shouldn't be surprised.
Look, in my hand, I hold Linnell Willingham's picks for the show, for the segment that and the contest that he created.
Hijacked, cheated, robbed, whatever you want to use.
He has been absolutely awful to the tune of 54-97. Not against the spread, just straight up 54-97. Partially because he doesn't understand how rules and deadlines work. But Linnell Willingham, boys and girls, has actually hit a deadline on his birthday. Whoa. It is a dawning of a new era. Way to go, LW. YIC, baby. The main event messiah. Man, it is a dawning of a new day, baby.
I've had enough of you. I think we need to go back to one day.
You only have another hour and a half.
Yeah, well.
And be nice to me. Matty and I brought you food to celebrate your birthday yesterday. Well, be nice.
Matt brought bagels. You brought cake. I hate dessert, so there's that.
Matt, what did I tell you yesterday morning when I called you? I said he hates everything, and he's going to be miserable and unappreciative.
I got
two cakes, and he still is miserable.
There was a conversation of, hey, what do we get him? I don't know. Every time we try, it's, nah, I'm not a fan of that.
Well, you bought that terrible-ass chicken a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, it was terrible for you, not terrible for anybody with a normal human palate.
Look, I already told you, your food takes are irrelevant and don't have much, like, merit with me because the way your neighborhood does your seafood boil. I mean, it's the most unseasoned thing I've ever seen in my life.
You don't even know. You have
you
no idea what kind
of... You get so defensive.
We throw huge spice packets into that.
Packets? What the hell is a spice packet?
It's what you do for a seafood boil, you dope.
I will say...
Your spice packets,
Your belief that there was no yellow mustard in Long Island as you're growing up is that's debilitating.
You know, I just
wait. What is it?
It's true. I just went out to the the main part of the press box here at Lincoln Financial Field because they're starting to cook all the food and I can smell it. So I was just looking to see what we're going to eat as soon as the show is over, and they have food out there, but it doesn't look like it's ready for public consumption. But they have the soft Philadelphia pretzels, and you know what? They don't have any of that crappy yellow mustard pant stuff that you people all love. They have spicy brown mustard, real people's mustard.
Yeah.
Mustard that puts a little hair on your chest.
You know, that's...
They don't have that yellow wine crap that looks like the Commander's uniform pants nonsense. Are they wearing those tonight? If they're wearing that, it's an automatic loss.
It's almost an automatic loss because you're in attendance.
Hey, man. Before last Sunday, they had won every home game, and we were riding a hot streak. All right, let's get back to the calls. Who do we got?
Let's get to Mr. St. Juiced.
Is that Sweet Lou?
Sweet Lou.
Hello. Right. Yes, Lou.
Yo. Hey, we're going to beat Philly. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, Lou?
How are we going to beat Philly?
You got to actually talk. You got to actually
beat
talk
Philly with
the
Benjamin
phone.
St. Juice, Lou.
hey, man. Hey, the only way we're going to beat Philly is if I don't see that dude on the field. That's the only way.
Well, sure. He's gonna be you'd rather see Emmanuel Forbes on the field. I mean, that worked well last year.
Right thing to do.
Maybe we could play Michael Davis, who's hasn't seen the light of day since week two. Maybe we could do that.
Maybe you put Chris Russell
up there. Hey, as far as the game go, I think we need to play a complete 60 minutes. If we could do that, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, if we play 60 minutes football, I think, we have a chance. I mean, I'm not doubting my team. We 7-3. There's a reason why we 7-3. I mean, at the end of the day, if we get everybody involved on tonight, I think we're going to have a chance. Big, I mean, look, man, I don't care about making a statement because, I mean, come next year, you could do or you could talk about all that. But right now, to be honest, just go out there, win the game, and you know.
So is it a must win or is it a should win, Lou?
Or a low chance to win.
I kind of figured he would go with one of them.
We're going to win, man. I'm not going to come on the radio and tell you we're not going to win. We're going to beat the ish out of Philadelphia, the Eagles, whatever you want to call them. We're going to go out there, eat their steak and cheese, spank up their females and all that tonight. That's what we're going to do. You heard me.
Lou's getting a little interesting with his.
I'm getting a little interesting and a little freaky on the radio. I'm just kidding.
What? Hey, man, Lou, you keep your freaky ass right where you at.
I don't know what Lou's talking about. I heard enough weird stuff on the way up here with the junkies and our friend Patricia DeLima from El Zol. And Rex, that was not an invite for you to jump in about your toe fetish. Relax, Rex. My goodness. All right. More calls coming up. Let's do the quick trending alert right here, right now, from Philly, about halfway home on this throwdown, Burgundy and Gold Thursday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Indeed, it is Thursday night football as we sit here in Philadelphia, and Brian Robinson expected to rejoin the Commanders lineup after a two-game absence. He's already missed three games, some of their worst rushing performances of the year, but he is expected to play. We will find out closer to game time, about an hour and a half out, so right around 6:45, whether Andrew Wiley will play, whether Brandon Coleman will play, and others. We know Marshawn Lattimore and Austin Seibert, the place kicker are going to be out along with special teamer Nick Ballore. Certainly something to keep an eye on in that regard. We will have all day coverage for you right here on the Team 980. Again, I'm live in Philadelphia right now at 4. I'll rejoin Craig Hoffman at 6:30. We'll take an hour break to talk Terps with Mike Loxley, a Maryland men's football coach, and then rejoin you at 8 o'clock, Denton Day. And Toby Altizer will have B&G in-game live, and then the DOC takes your calls on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app late night, win or lose for the Commanders at 7-3 against the 7-2 Philadelphia Eagles off of the spanking of the Dallas Cowboys. And the Tampa Bay Rays from Major League Baseball, well, they can't play their home games this year at Tropicana Field because of the wind damage and storm damage to their roof. They're instead going to play all 81 games still in Tampa, but at the Yankee spring training facility, Steinbrenner Field, right near Raymond James Stadium, seats about 11,000. Perfect for the Rays. And that's what's trending. All right, we're back with you from Lincoln Financial Field in South Philadelphia as we get ready for Thursday night football. We'll get back to the calls in a sec. One thing we haven't touched on is execution in the red zone, and that's going to be true for both teams. I mentioned Nick Sirianni and his propensity, like on 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, say like inside the 15-yard line to go for it and whatnot, and maybe you catch a break. Maybe it's a backbreaker, but maybe you catch a break and the Commanders get essentially a turnover, but a turnover on downs. Well, check out this. I didn't realize this. You know, we talked about the Eagles' defense getting better and better throughout the year under first-year coordinator Vic Fangio, but he's anything but a first-year coordinator. He's first-year coordinator here. And they struggled early, and they've been much better of late. Now, they played some anemic offenses, but they also played Cincinnati and, you know, throughout the year. Linnell, check out this number. The NFL league average in allowing touchdowns in goal-to-go situations, meaning you have first and goal or, you know, whatever, inside the 10, is 72%. The Eagles are only allowing a touchdown in goal-to-go percentage situations 57% of the time. That's 15% under the league average. So it obviously
means they're goes pretty good.
Yes, but it obviously goes to reason, right? The Commanders have struggled in a couple of games, as we know, against Chicago and against the Giants in Week 2, and maybe from time to time elsewhere. Inside the red zone, this is goal to go, so even closer. If you get first and goal tonight, They were good against the Steelers, actually. They ran the ball physically three times for touchdowns, despite the lack of commitment to running, despite the lack of success, despite no B-Rob. They had three short touchdown runs, and they were kind of the physical variety. It is going to be so crucial to walk away with seven, obviously, instead of three against a high-powered offense. You cannot afford, of course, to walk away with no points, but really 3 points, not good enough tonight. And I would expect, even though they finally failed on a fourth down conversion at the end of last week's game, and everybody knows that was controversial spot marking, stupid NFL rules, whatever, it was fourth and nine, right? I mean, you just don't make a lot of those. But I would expect if it's fourth and, I don't know, three or less, and they're inside the 10, Dan Quinn is going to go for it. Wouldn't you?
I would feel the same thing, man, and they have to. I think if that's why the start is so important for this group. If they can start fast and score touchdowns in the red zone, like you're saying, it changes how Philadelphia's got to attack things on offense. It puts more of an onus on Jalen Hurts, and I think that is the key to winning, is making him beat you. Now, obviously, the back-breaking runs with your legs, with his legs, is something that you can't really afford to have happen too much. But, yeah, I would agree. Like, scoring in the red zone is huge. Getting Brian Robinson back, though, man, I think automatically helps you in that area. And then Terry McLaurin leads the NFL in red zone touchdowns. Or wide receivers in red zone touchdowns, right. Excuse me. So,
and he has, you know, he admitted to me 2 weeks ago at MetLife Stadium, man, I worked so hard on my red zone routes and separation and whatnot. And he had, of course, the two touchdowns at MetLife on that nice pick play with the slant underneath and whatnot. He said that was one thing he really worked hard on and emphasized. And I mentioned all offseason and even early in the season, hey, man, like, I know Terry's been in a tough spot, but Terry's really got to figure out a way to separate and get more open and to do something more to get in the end zone more, because he had only averaged 4.5 touchdowns per year over the last 4 years, right? Four touchdowns in 2021 and 2020. Four touchdowns in 2020 and 2024, five touchdowns, I think, in 21, 22. So it was like an average of 4.5 touchdowns for 4 years. Linnell, he, as you said, he's been way better, but they so need that tonight. And to your point early on, remember the 2020 Sunday Night Football division clincher? They scored on a long touchdown drive, and it was Terry McLaurin that caught, I think it was a little fade route, back corner of the end zone from Alex Smith, if memory serves me correct, which got that game going and got them the division clinching victory.
Yeah, I think your point is absolutely correct. I wonder how many red zone opportunities they'll have tonight. Because if you play that brand of football that you played Sunday, where you're not very physical up front, mm-hmm. and you make a bunch of mistakes, I think this defense is going to be on the field quite a bit tonight. Just a hunch.
Yeah. Well, so you can't allow, you can't win this game if you're on the field 35 plus minutes.
No.
Meaning your defense.
Yeah. And I totally agree.
You have no chance.
I go back to the fast start thing, though, for Philadelphia, and why that could be the thing that tips the scales here for Washington. Mm-hmm. It's the exact opposite, right? Like, as good as Washington's been to start, Philadelphia's struggled to start games. Jacksonville was the first game all season where they scored a touchdown in the opening
right.
quarter. Like,
right.
that is that's a number that doesn't even sound real. That was 8-9 weeks into the season, and we
yeah,
were seeing
that's
that.
Crazy.
So if Washington can start fast, man, I think it changes the entire dynamic. But
they've still only scored 14 total points
right.
in the first quarter.
It's not what they do well. And on the flip side, Washington is one of the league leaders in first quarter points. So getting out on them early is going to be huge. I just look at the defense, man. I trust that the offense bounces back. I don't think they're too talented at quarterback, at wide receiver, and at running back. If they're all healthy, mm-hmm. you're not going to see them go through what they went through the week prior against Pittsburgh
yeah.
over and over and over again. Yeah. It's not something I see happening. It's
check this
not.
Out. Before we get back to the calls, you mentioned Washington's prowess in the first quarter, and you're right. They've outscored opponents 57-36 in the first
quarter. Can you say that again, Chris? Because that's nuts.
Yeah, 57-36, but I'll give you an even better one. And this was evident last week as well on that long touchdown drive. Now, it was penalty aided. Joey Porter, as we mentioned earlier in the show, a couple of penalties against him, one DPI, and so on and so forth. they've, in the first quarter of games this year, Washington has outscored opponents 57-36, which is a sizable margin. They've almost doubled that production in the second quarter of games. 105 points in second quarter, in the second quarter of now 10 games. Yeah. 105 points, and their margin in that quarter is 105-53. So if you combine the two, obviously you get to 162 points in the first half. 162 points in the first half of 10 games. So that's an average of 16.2 points per game, and they're only allowing, right, if you do, you know, and if you add up all the numbers, right, they're only allowing 53-36, so that's 83-89 points. So what did I say, 162 to 89 in terms of the advantage in the first half for the Washington Commanders so far?
It's huge, and yep, they're gonna have to replicate that success tonight, because that's how you could really take mm-hmm. Philadelphia out of their comfort zone and what they want to do. If you can jump out on them, it's gonna be on the defense. They gotta get stops.
Yeah,
gotta get stops.
You want to get back to the calls?
Let's get back to it. Let's go to DC. In DC, what's up, DC?
Great day, fellas.
What's up, DC?
Hey, happy birthday, Linnell, man. I hope you enjoy your day to the fullest, brother.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we just don't want to see him in his birthday suit, DC, you know?
Oh, man. DC, can I cut you off for a second, brother? Between you, Chris Russell, and Lou, y'all freaky as hell today, man. Y'all really got to slow it down. Seriously, it's a family show.
No.
It's a family show, man.
Don't put me in the Lou or the Russell.
Yeah, I think we're all adults here. I think we're all adults here, and we could just say nobody wants to see the Big Willie.
Wow. This has gotten out of control. I mean, that's – wow. Can we go to break?
Oh, man.
DC, I'm sorry about this, brother. These are the things that I feel are detrimental to my brand, man. That's what I've been talking about.
Screw your brand, man. Let's do a show. Let's have fun. For God's sakes, brand. If anybody's thinking about a brand today, I'm going to brand your ass. Let's go. All right, come on, DC. Go ahead.
Linnell, my point is going to help you build your brand, brother. So for me, it's a must win and a should win. The must win is we must get this nasty taste out of our mouth from last week, a game we could have won, we should have won. Due to our overall play, we didn't get it done. We should win, because in order to be the division winner, we have to win these division games. This is the culture that we talked about we wanted to build, and this is where it starts tonight. And tonight, it'll show that the youngest in charge, the new school commanders, is doing their thing. And that way, the youngest in charge can celebrate his birthday the right way.
There we go,
well,
DC.
I hope that is the case.
Come on, brother.
There you go.
Appreciate
I hope
you,
that
DC.
Is the case. Thank you, DC. Appreciate you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You know, like one other thing that, you know, I guess we probably haven't mentioned that I think is kind of important in this game. Nobody's going to pay any attention to. Nick Ballore is not going to play in this game, right? And you say, who's Nick Ballore? He's one of their best special teamers, and this team has been great. I mean, we know Olamide Zaccheaus has struggled. We know they have a new place kicker. Not a new place kicker. He played last Sunday in Zane Gonzalez, but still a relatively new place kicker, all of that. They've been really good in punt and kick return coverage, and part of that is Nick Ballore, who's a special team pro bowler signed over from Seattle, and he was a pro bowler last year, right? I think he's already been ruled out, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to remember from the injury report. I believe he's already been ruled out. I'll have to double check that, but no, you know, they cannot lose this game on special teams, obviously.
No, I would more so worry about Olamide Zaccheaus rather than Nick Ballore. I mean, OZ has been we're going to see if DQ trusting this guy is going to come back and bite him in his ass. Because, there's no way he'd be my
kick returner. What's the answer if Zaccheaus fumbles the first punt tonight?
He wouldn't be my kick returner tonight. He would not be my guy.
Right, but what's the answer? Because with Jamison Crowder still on IR, what other options do they have? I mean, Luke McCaffrey, I think, had one punt return in preseason.
Austin Eckler's returned punts before in his career.
You're going to ask Eckler to be kickoff return, punt return, and your second running back?
Luke McCaffrey's done it before. Emmanuel Forbes done it before, caught it. was catching it this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Igbinoghene. Like, there's, they got other options. Don't act like they don't have.
Well,
he would not be my guy.
Yeah, Igbinoghene was the one I was thinking of. I think I mentioned him,
man,
on the Junkies.
I'm telling you, OZ, brother, love you, man. But damn, you called us last week. Y'all, everybody's on Benjamin St. Juice ass. Imagine if OZ doesn't muff the punt.
Mm-hmm.
We win. We literally win.
Yeah. Well, it cost them 7 points, no doubt. And here's the other thing. Again, I keep saying this. Nobody will listen to me. He totally misjudged a punt against Carolina, led to a wild scramble and a punt being down at the 1 yard line. He fumbled a return against Chicago, which was a pretty good return. He fumbled the ball on, and then he had the two muffs and the one turnover, obviously, against Pittsburgh. So that's 4 times in the last 4 weeks. All right, let's take a timeout. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll continue from here at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Linnell Willingham back home in D.C., along with Matt. I was wearing his Jaden Daniels burgundy and gold number 5 jersey. Plenty of those probably in the crowd tonight. I'm sure a lot of Commanders fans making the trip up I-95. Let's do it, baby, at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 2:53 on the Team 980. We continue along from Lincoln Financial Field here in South Philadelphia. 7-2 Philadelphia Eagles, 7-3 Washington Commanders, battle for first place in the NFC East. Linnell, it is your 27th birthday. Tyler has weighed in. He wishes Mr. Minnell a happy birthday.
Yeah, when did we start adding the Mr. to
everything? Well, I mean, I told him to be respectful instead of calling you crazy old Minnell.
Oh.
He's now switched it up to Mr. Minnell because I told him to be respectful
of
you.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Even though sometimes you don't deserve it, you know, I do try and raise my youngins correctly.
Well,
even though he's a young adult, you know, and it's not lost on me. The last time I was here at Lincoln Financial Field, boys, was for a 2-night extravaganza in April. WrestleMania, baby.
Yeah.
It was the first time I was actually in the crowd here at Lincoln Financial Field, because I wouldn't do that otherwise. I've been to, I don't know, 7 or 8 Eagles, Commanders, yeah, maybe more than that, I should say, over the years here. It's probably more than that, like 10. I didn't do every one of them, but maybe like 10. I've been to an Army-Navy game here. I've been to 2 nights of WrestleMania. That was the only time that I was in the crowd. If you're a Commanders fan, you should still come up here. You should still be loud and proud. Don't be obnoxious. Don't be a jerk. This place has a terrible reputation. I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be, but just don't be obnoxious. Be happy for your team. Be respectful, all that stuff, and I don't think you'll get beat up. How about that?
Yeah, I think Philly fans are they're probably the most obnoxious fan base in pro sports.
They are obnoxious. I mean, I turned on WIP, our sister station on Odyssey, on the way up here as soon as I got into range. And the first thing I heard was, you know, fly, Eagles, fly, and somebody going, E-A-G-L-E-S. And they were talking about how it was going to be a blowout. And Hugh Douglas, who, you know, I had on the show at the Army-Navy game last year and might be coming back on, you know, at some point here, He was like, oh, you know, I hope I can go to bed early tonight and turn off the game and watch the rest of the game in the morning because it's such a one-sided game. I'm like, you know, listen, I mean, you can hope for all that. Does that make sense? Like, I don't, like, I see this team losing a close one. I do not see it being an ambush. Even though I'm scared to death of the Eagles' talent, I do not see the Commanders not being resilient and not putting up a fight. I don't know if I see them winning. They can, but I don't see them getting ambushed. I would be very surprised if you walk away and this game's like 38-13 at the end of tonight. I'd be very surprised.
We'd be surprised, but let's not act like it's impossible. There's just no shot at it.
I didn't say it's impossible.
It's NFL,
I just said very, very surprised.
I'd be very surprised as well, but they can't play the way they play offensively against Pittsburgh tonight. And if they play the way they played offensively against Pittsburgh tonight, they will get boat raced. Because Philly's not a pedestrian offense like the Steelers are.
Are they going? All right. So real quickly, we've talked about some of the wide receiver matchups. Where do they have the advantage? Is it just at quarterback? And is that even a thing? Does Jaden Daniels conclusively have the advantage over
yes.
Jalen Hurts, even though they're not
yes.
going against each other?
Yes.
Absolutely. No question.
Not a question.
Is Jaden Daniels the same Jaden Daniels coming in tonight as he was week 5, week 6?
He better be.
What if he's not right? What if he's not 100%? What if all of these issues, or some of these issues, which everybody wants to chalk up to drops and no B-Rob and the offensive line being banged up, what if it's just Jaden is not only banged up a little bit and it's affecting him in some way? What if it's more mentally, maybe psychologically? And I know you don't want to say this. They've been playing football. What is this, week 11, right? This is week 11 now. They've been at it for 17 straight weeks, including training camp. It's a long time. He's not used to that. Like in college, you get multiple bye weeks, right? He's not used to that. 17 straight weeks, a long grind.
Doesn't matter. He better be right. He's got to be right. This is my thing. Like, I'm done. It'd be different. He would have that baked-in excuse if he didn't come out like gangbusters the first 9 weeks of the season. Like I said yesterday, he's not a rookie. So stop
but
comparing
him
to a rookie.
He was fresher then, right? So,
yeah,
and now
look,
he's more banged up.
Man, look, he played football in the SEC.
Yeah. And you get bye weeks in the SEC. You don't play 17 straight weeks of football.
You get banged around, though, pretty routinely, and he got banged around pretty routinely.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be fine.
All right, 258, more of your calls on the other side of 3 o'clock. We still have all the usual. We'll squeeze in a little quick cleanup on aisle 3 and dum-dum of the day. Along the way from Lincoln Financial Field, one more hour to go. Linnell Willingham, I'm Chris Russell, a.k.a. the Rooster, the youngest in charge. The main event messiah with us as well, Matty Ice as well, and you at 301-230-0980 on the T980 and the Odyssey app.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.